Let me start out just, I just feel like I need to say this. I don't know everything. I don't know it all. I don't have it all figured out. And there's a lot of things that we may share tonight. And to be honest with you, that it's just where I'm at. And you may not be there. You may be beyond me. Don't know. But here's the deal. Just take what you can handle. Take what you can grasp. And take it and meditate on it and figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I need to say it because, listen, one message, I can't share everything that's in my heart. I can't balance everything out. I can't make everything fit just perfect, okay? So, okay, we've shared some things. Last week, we shared some tough things, okay? You take what you can chew and eat it, and the rest, set it aside, and maybe come back to it later, okay? All right, because there may be some things you know that I need to set aside and work that out, okay? I felt like I need to say that. I don't know everything, okay? So let's pray. Father, Lord, I just pray that tonight I would be able to share all that you've put in my heart to share tonight and that it would be clear and easy to understand. Father, I thank you that the gospel is simple. It's easy. Father, if it's complicated and it's hard to understand, it's probably not you. So, Father, make it plain and simple. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we were talking last week about being visually impaired. Now, someone who's visually impaired in the natural, they may be able to see a little bit, but they may not be able to see like they need to, like 20/20 vision. Some people are completely blind, right? And I'm not talking about in the natural. I'm talking about in the spiritual. I'm talking about how we see spiritually and whether or not we see like God sees or we see a twisted version of that. And we read a story and we kind of got into that and looked at that. And I want to review that again just to bring everybody back up to speed. But John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Can you see the kingdom of God right here, right now, with your natural eyes? You can't, right? So he's obviously not talking about seeing something with these eyes. He's talking about seeing something with your spiritual eyes. Seeing something with your spiritual eyes, right? The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, however you want to say that. Right? It's kind of hard to see righteousness. You can see acts of righteousness, but I can look at you and not tell that you're righteous until I hear you speak or watch you act, so forth. I can't really see peace, but I can see the effects of peace. Right? So I want to be able to see like God sees. We looked at this story in Matthew chapter 17. And this story is told in Matthew chapter 17. It's also told in Mark. And in Mark chapter 9, it's the same story, a little bit different perspective because two different people are seeing this unfold. But Jesus has been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took Peter, James, and John. He goes up on this mountain, right? And they see Jesus in this like glorified, glowing body. They see Elijah and they see Moses. And they're like freaking out. And they're like, "Hey, let's build a house. Let's build him a little house and you a little house. And let's all hang out here forever." And it was kind of interesting. They were focusing on Moses and Elijah and how awesome it was. And Moses and Elijah was like, "It's not really about us. It's about him." And then what do? They disappear. But guess who stays? Jesus, right? So Jesus, they have this moment. They're coming down off the mountain. And the other 9 disciples, what were they left to do? They were left to, what, heal the sick? Cast out devils, do the work of the ministry, right? And Jesus comes down the mountain with the other 3 and he sees them doing some stuff, right? He says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, that's a hard word to say, and suffers severely. for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. That stings. I don't want anybody calling me faithless and perverse, but that's what he said. Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. And then he says, However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So the disciples tried to heal a man and cast out a devil, and they could not do it. And we talked about this last week a little bit, how when Jesus brings them aside, and he said, Listen, you're perverted. And I'm like, Whoa. When we hear that, we think of sexual things, right? But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about their thinking, their motives, their mindsets are perverted. The word means twisted. They have a twisted mindset. They have a twisted motive and a twisted way of thinking. And when he takes the disciples aside, in a way, what he told them was, the reason that you couldn't heal them is because you don't see like I see. You see twisted. You see with unbelief, which is a twisted way of thinking. Jesus just healed him immediately. Now, it's interesting, in the book of Mark, we get the same story, but it is from a different perspective. So a lot of times when you read the same story in different books, there will be details left out of one, or maybe details added that wasn't in the other one. I like this part here, and I wanted to kind of pull this out. Mark 9:14, it says, Now when they came down the mountain to the other nine disciples, they noticed a large crowd of people gathered around them with the religious scholars arguing with them. They were arguing. Guys, arguing and disputing, especially about healing and things like that, it is pointless. And if you'll notice, what happened was they took their focus off of the boy and they started arguing and disputing, and it come about all about them, who's right and who's wrong. We cannot do that. We can't do that as a church. You can't do that as an individual. Because you've just shifted everything all onto you. And it's become all about you, whether you're right or you're wrong. And I imagine Jesus was a little bit upset about that too. When he was like, how long will I be with you guys? You got to get this right. You know what the best thing would have been to do in that situation? Just heal the boy. Just heal him. Right? Then what would they have to say? If you remember, the boy had a violent reaction. He's foaming at the mouth, like some of our kids in Walmart when they don't get their toy, right? Foaming at the mouth, doing 360s in the floor. And the disciples saw something with their natural eyes, and it immediately created unbelief in their heart because they were like, whoa, don't know if I can handle this. And we do the same thing. We go pray for someone in the hospital, and they're bad, and we see how horrible they look. And how, you know what I'm saying? You've been there and you're like, oh, they don't even look the same. And what happens? Your mind starts playing tricks on you. Your mind starts working. And we have to be careful with that, guys. And it's tough. I'm not saying it's not tough. But a lot of times before we go pray for someone, if we've got any inkling it's going to be a tough situation, you got to prepare yourself. Because you want to go in without fear. You want to go in with faith and covenant and promise. See, they got distracted, they got thrown off, and they went by what they saw with their natural eyes more than what they saw with their spiritual eyes. Okay. iPads, they're wonderful. and they're terrible at the same time. Here we go. I love what he says. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible. You know, I was thinking about that. I said, I wonder how many of us actually believe that. Because this is the way my mind goes. All things are possible, but what about that? Yeah? Yeah. And remember what we were talking about last week. We can't let our experience trump truth. And we do that. We say, well, I had this bad experience, so that must mean that God's word, it only works sometimes. Or it doesn't work for me. Right? And we can't get into that. And again, it's a fight. Right? What's the scripture? And I know this ain't going to be up there, but talking about, the fight of faith. The fight of faith. What's the fight? To believe. We want to fight each other. That's not what it is. It's a fight to believe his word. A fight to believe the truth. A fight to not believe what the world is saying and believe what God has said. So it can be a fight. Absolutely. And I like how Matthew adds, he adds the part about the mustard seed. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be done. Faith. We use that word a lot in our Christian vernacular, our, what do we call it, like Christianese. We got all our terms and languages, and we throw that word around a lot. And it is an important word, but sometimes it's kind of like love. We overuse it, right? I love pizza. I love my gerbils. I love my dog, and I love my wife. I'm like, oh, well, what order does that go in, and how does that work? You know, faith. Listen, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Because listen, when the will of God is known, you got to choose whether or not to believe it or to not. Yes. Now check this out. Jesus is the will of God revealed. Jesus is the will of God revealed. And I've heard people say, well, I just don't know what the will of God is for my life. You read your word? No, a little bit. But it probably doesn't apply to my situation. I've heard it. Jesus is the will of God revealed. So here's the deal. What's the will of God? Look at Jesus' life. Look at his life. Jesus is the example. He's the model son. Right? A lot of people think, oh, well, that was Jesus. Jesus could do that, but I can't do that. No, Jesus is the model. He's our example. So you say, well, is it God's will to heal? What did Jesus do? Did he ever refuse anyone? Did he ever say, oh, well, sorry, this is not your day? Right? Oh, if you'd have been here 5 minutes earlier, the anointing was here and it's gone now. It went right out the door. Sorry. Come back tomorrow, maybe. No, everybody that came got healed. He had to pray for one guy twice. Yeah? Put mud on his eyes and all. Yeah? I see a little bit. Well, let's pray again. Right? It's in there. Faith. Faith in God and his word is right believing. It's right believing. See, we can have wrong believing. It's called unbelief. We want to have right believing so that we see like he sees. And it's faith in God and his word. It's faith in God and his word. His word says this, I believe this. Faith in anything else is twisted believing, perverted thinking. You think about it. If you really are honest with yourself, because listen, I've been meditating on this for probably 3 years. I've thought this out and I've had these thoughts. If you really think about it, we have faith in a lot of things we shouldn't have faith in. A lot of us have faith that things aren't just going to go right. We have faith that, well, if I do this, this is going to happen. It happens every time. It's October. She's going to get sick again. It's like every October. You're having more faith in that than you're having a faith in His Word. Amen? So you think about it for yourself. What are things that you have faith in more than God's Word? Listen, that's twisted thinking, and every single one of us have to go to Him and get before Him and get in our prayer closet and have communion with Him and say, Father, untwist my thinking. Amen? We all have to do it. All of us. I wish it was automatic, but it's not. Having intimate relationship with Jesus brings revelation. It brings revelation. And here's the deal, guys. As believers, we can't live off someone else's revelation. It's nice to share revelation and glean from that, but you need to be getting personal revelation by your intimate time with Jesus. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal, guys. Healing is not a formula. It's a revelation. Healing is not a formula. It's a revelation. Some of us want healing, but we won't go to the Father and get revelation of healing. We just want healing. And I get that, because especially if you're in pain or you're sick, and listen, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. Don't. We're not going to get weird. Let me tell you about doctors. Doctors are against sickness. Guess who else is against sickness? Jesus. Yeah. If they're not against us, they're for us. Okay? So don't stop taking your medicine and don't say, I'm never going to a doctor. Because a lot of us in here, if we didn't go to a doctor, we'd be dead right now. Okay? That's okay. But here's the deal. You may get to a point. You may get to a point where you don't need the doctor. That would be awesome. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Boom, they're healed. Say, well, I don't need to go to a doctor now. I'm healed. Right? That's okay. But if you ain't there, don't be dumb. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay? If you don't have that revelation, walk in wisdom. Okay? So healing is a revelation. And it comes by knowing Jesus. We're all at different places there. We're all growing up into Him. Right? Because none of us has arrived and saying, like I said at the beginning, I don't know everything. I don't know why we prayed for that person and they died, and we prayed for that person and they lived. I don't know. But I know what Jesus did, and everybody that Jesus came in contact with, He healed or delivered and set free. So if Jesus lives in me, then I should have the same results. And if I'm not getting the results, then let's go after it. Yeah. Right? Man. Knowing Jesus, guys, isn't a point in time. It's a life lived in communion with Him. I know we have salvation experience. I know we give our lives to Jesus and we have that salvation experience, and then, well, I know Jesus. No, you don't. That's like me saying, well, I had a date with Angela before we got married. I know my wife now. I know everything about her. We're good. No, it's a life lived. It's not a point in time where you're just all of a sudden, I know Jesus. No, it's this continual communion and spending time with Him throughout a lifetime that you get to know Him. Right? And through that, guys, you're going to go through different levels of revelation. You're going to get better understanding of things, healing being one of them. We were talking the other day about the revelation that we have today, that our parents, when they were our age, didn't have that revelation. Matter of fact, I don't know if they would have handled it very well. And I'm thinking, how much more will my children have that revelation when they're our age? I hope they do, and I hope they're growing in their knowing, and they're growing in their understanding of the Word and getting greater revelations than even we have. Amen? The more we know Jesus, the more our thinking is untwisted. The more what we see that's twisted will become clear. Amen? But if we never go after it, we'll just stay the same. What would happen if you had a cataract? You'd go get it removed, wouldn't you? Yeah? Well, what would happen if you had those cataracts and you're like, I'm good. I kind of like seeing this way. You know, no, you wouldn't do that. That's silly. That's foolishness. No, you'd go get it removed. Or you'd have someone pray for you that they would be removed. Right? Same thing. If we know that we're not seeing clear, because listen, if we were seeing clear, every time we prayed for someone, they would be healed. And they're not. And because they're not, we can't go, well, I'm going to raise my experience over the truth. We can't do that. We have to say, no, I'm just not seeing like I need to see yet. And I need to continue my relationship with Him so I can grow in my revelation. Right? Let's think about something. Flight. How long have we been able to fly? 100 years? How about since the time of Adam and Eve? Problem is, they didn't know how to fly. The ability was there. The laws were there of lift and all that, but they didn't know how to fly. We had to learn how to do that. We had to grow. And you know what? Some of the first attempts didn't go so well. We had people doing silly things too, like gluing feathers to their arms, jumping off cliffs, dropping like rocks. You know, but then somebody, oh, they got a little bit of flight and they flew for a few seconds. And now look at it today. Think of some of like F-35. An F-35 can hover and it's a jet and it can land and take off vertically. It's crazy. It can break the sound barrier like that. We can go from one continent to the next in a matter of hours. It's the same thing with healing, guys. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start learning and growing in your knowing so that you can grow in it. And you know what? We'll have more success. More success. If we just give up and throw up our hands and go, well, it didn't work, you're never going to learn how to fly. Right? Think about it. So our thoughts. For all of us, guys, it's a battle. Angela said this the other day. It was so good, and we talk about this a lot. Some of us just want the bad thoughts to go away. And they may not ever go away. The problem is whether you believe the bad thoughts or not. And I've even got to the point where some of the bad thoughts that the devil throws at me, they're laughable. Now I'm like, oh, really? You done tried that? You're going to keep trying that? Yeah? Some of your bad thoughts may never go away. I'm sorry. They just may not. But can you identify them and take them captive and say, not today, devil? Right? So check this out. Because some people say, well, I'm still having those thoughts, so I'm not free. Who told you that? Where did you get that from? Probably some book that somebody wrote about their experience, that they elevated it above the truth of God. Listen, you're free. You're free. Now, this thing up here needs some work, right? Because this thing's trying to deceive us, and we got to get this thing to line up with our spirit. That's where the battle comes in. But I know people after people, well, I'm not free yet. I had a bad thought. Okay, you ever heard of a familiar spirit? You ever heard of a residual thought? That's all that is. It's just the devil lying to you, trying to get you to think you're not free. So that what? You'll wallow in your misery. I'm not free. I need the prayer team to come down and pray for me. I had a bad thought. No, grow up. Grow up. And listen, right here, it's 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, and we quote this all the time, but I don't know if we get it, right? For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. See, people will hide behind that. They'll hide behind something that happened to them in the past that they can't get over. And they'll say, see, I'm still not free. Uh-oh. but I thought Jesus set you free. So if you're not believing what he said, you're believing, you're putting faith in what happened to you, you got to be careful there, because you'll let the devil keep you in bondage when you're actually free. Listen, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that rises up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Every thought. Well, you had a thought about something you did a long time ago that wasn't very good, and you think you're not free from that? No, it's prisoner of war right there. Bam. That's not who I am. I'm free from that. Right? I know it's not very popular talk today. I understand that. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to get you to walk in freedom. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One, since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry. So listen, if that thought gets you to wallow in the mully grubs, that thought is more powerful than God Almighty in the work of Jesus, is what you're saying. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. We stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as, listen, you choose obedience. As soon as you choose obedience. Some of us like that. I'm just being honest. I've done that and I liked it because it got me attention. It got people to feel sorry for me. It got people to tell their story like my story and validate where I'm at. Listen, the problem is, if that's happening, nobody gets set free. We stay in that. So we have to be careful because, listen, it is. It's twisted thinking. It's twisted thinking. We're not seeing like he sees. Not saying you won't battle with it, but we need to run to the Father and say, listen, I had that thought. That's not me. You set me free from that. Untwist my thinking, right? Because I don't want to stay there any longer. Whew. Now, talking about healing, and we started talking about this last week, and I want to clarify some things, but we started talking about you being anointed, okay? And I know sometimes people say, oh, I see this pastor, and he's awesome. Like, pastor stands up there, and he's preaching, he's getting after them. They're like, pastor's so anointed. Pastor, if you'll touch me, I'll get that anointing, right? And it's almost like coveting the anointing. Or they'll see, Pastor Dwayne or somebody that's got a healing ministry. They actually have the gift, and they see a lot of things going on, and they're like, if they touch me, then I'll get that anointing. And what they fail to realize is that they already are anointed. And we'll have people that'll chase that and think, well, if they lay hands on me, I'll get that anointing. And they actually see that. And listen to this. In the Old Testament, when Elijah and Elisha, okay, Elijah did some really awesome things, and then Elisha says, I want a double portion of that, right? And he says, hey, if you see me when I go, you'll get it. Here's the deal. Elisha and Elijah, I want you to hear this, they were orphans. They were fallen, unredeemed beings. There was no Jesus. They couldn't have been redeemed yet. What they did and the thing that they were able to do was incredible. John the Baptist said that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than all the prophets. All the prophets. Well, what were they? The least in the kingdom is greater than them. And they just got a double portion. Here's the deal. And I don't know the number. Let's say that Elijah healed 12 and Elisha healed 24. Isn't that limited? How many can you heal by laying hands on? As many as you lay hands on. You see the difference? And you're anointed when you get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, we get anointed, guys, with power that I don't think any of us really understand fully and comprehend, just the craziness of God living inside of you. And just, I think the further we go, the more revelation we go, we're just going to rip it open. And we're going to see more people healed, delivered, and set free because of the anointing, guys, and because you have been anointed. I read this last time. For all the promises of God, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Now, we do know some of those promises are about healing, right? Deliverance, freedom. If we're asking God, what's his answer? Yes, right? To the glory of God through us. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. You've been anointed. Who also has sealed us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, that's a whole other teaching. I'm not going to go there today. The point of this is that he says you are anointed. If you're in Jesus, you are anointed. You have received an anointing. Pastor Stan gave me this one the other night, so I had to throw this in here. 1 John 2:20, but the Holy One has anointed you. And you know, it, I like this one, it says, and you all know the truth. The Holy One, who is that? It's Jesus has anointed you. So here's the deal. Do you have the anointing to set someone free? Yes. It's not you this doing, it's God in you, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the anointing. You don't need to go somewhere and get the anointing. Now listen, I understand that it can be a good thing for someone to lay hands on you and pray for you. And this is what happens, guys. This is what happens, and this is good. It's okay for someone to lay hands on you and to stir that thing up, to activate that anointing that's in you. That's good, and call that thing forth. It's okay for someone to prophesy over you. And you know what they're prophesying over you? Not something that you don't have, something that's already in there. They call that thing out and get you to start operating and walking in what Jesus has anointed you in. Amen? So that's perfectly fine. But listen, we're all anointed. What are we anointed for? Listen, anointed. This is so cool. I like this. The word anointed, it means some different things, like pouring oil over them, but if you start studying it out, a lot of places in the scripture it means this, divine empowerment to accomplish a task. Whoo! You've been empowered by the divine one, God Almighty, to accomplish a task. Right? What task? What task? Well, let's look at John 14, verse 12. Jesus says, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. What works? The same thing that Jesus was doing and even greater. That's what he's saying right here. What task were you anointed for? To do the works of Jesus, which includes healing, amongst a lot of other things. Amen? I like that. And listen, guys, it gets crazy here, and I'm not sure I have all this worked out, because listen to this. He says, for I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask in my name. Anything? You know, my mind starts playing tricks. Like, anything, Lord? About that 1,200-acre game ranch that I've been praying for with the log cabin. Oh, wait, that's probably not the right motive. But well, maybe another time we'll talk about that. And check this out. And it says, and that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Whoo! Talking about healing. Now, listen, I'm running out of time. And I want to do something with y'all tonight, so I'm trying to fast forward just a little bit. Listen, how many of y'all have ever had this thought, though? Well, I don't feel anointed. Listen, you're not supposed to feel it. You're supposed to know it. Yeah. Know it. Right? And I was telling a group the other day, I prayed for a guy, his back was busted and he was hurt and couldn't he come in? And will you pray for me, Joey? I was just like, I wasn't feeling good. And I went up to the guy and I said, yeah, I'll pray for you real quick. In the name of Jesus, back be healed, pain go in Jesus' name. And I said, can you do anything? Can you bend over, touch your toes? Anything that feel better? And he bent down and touched his toes. And before he could get up, he was just bawling. And I was like, what's wrong? And he's like, it's just the pain's gone. I'm healed. I didn't feel nothing. I felt nothing. I wasn't even in the mood to be praying for anybody. But you know what? We're anointed. And that anointing flowed through me just because I was simply obedient. So here it comes, praying for the sick. Hang-ups of praying for the sick. I don't know how to pray. I just don't know how to pray. Well, I didn't say the right thing when I prayed, right? Or do I have to get real loud and demonstrative and scream at the sickness? Maybe that'll get it to go. Or do I have to quote all the scriptures that I know? Because maybe that'll get it to go. Which there is power in the word, but using it like it's a spell or something. If I say this 10 times, it'll work. No, that's not what we use the word for. Got to believe it. You don't just quote it. You got to believe it. Have you ever heard of the term? I know y'all have heard this. You ever heard of some kid, he'll say like GD, you know what I'm saying, that word? I'm not going to say it fully because it's inappropriate. And someone will go, oh, how dare you use the Lord's name in vain? You ever heard that? Did you know that's not really what it means? I want to show you something. This, seriously, I felt like Moby Dick, and I felt like getting harpooned as a giant whale. Like this truth just, I was like, oh my gosh. I'm just like, took an arrow of truth. You ever feel that way? Sometimes I feel like we're like getting slapped upside the head, just whack. And you're like, I didn't know that. Why didn't I see that? Using the Lord's name in vain is using it without power and effect. So check this out. When you pray for someone and you go, I'm not sure this is going to work. You've just used the Lord's name in vain. When you pray for someone and go, if it be thy will that this person is healed, you've just used the Lord's name in vain because it is God's will. And you've used it without power and effect. And here's the deal. This is the deal, though. When I think about that, I say, well, that makes me a little nervous when I pray for someone because what if it doesn't happen? Guess what we've done when we do that, though? We've made that prayer about us. Instead of about his word and his truth and what we believe. So when I pray, listen, I'm going to pray that I'm using the Lord's name with power and effect. We don't want to just say, well, maybe it'll work. I'm going to teach you how to pray tonight for the sick. You ready? Get your notepads out. So I'm going to take a minute. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, be healed. That's it. In the name of Jesus, pain, go. You say, why would you pray like that? Why don't you go into this elaborate, and praying in tongues and doing all this stuff, which is not bad to pray in tongues, but why wouldn't you do that? Because here's the deal, and this happens too many times. When we start praying for people, and we're just letting it, and all of a sudden we're just like, oh, and you get in here. Yeah. You start thinking about what you're praying. Am I saying the right words? Is it elegant enough? Right? And we think that, and we start telling God about the situation. Yeah, God, this is going on with this person, and this is happening, and we're informing God, and they've been this way for this many years, God, and if I pray that I'm going to convince you. If you'll just keep listening to me, you are going to do what I want you to do, right? And what if we, all of a sudden, we've made it all about us. And I'm telling you, I've seen this work over and over again. We pray for them youth over there, and in the name of Jesus, fever go. And just that's it. That's it. And you say, where do you get that from? Jesus. He's the model. How did Jesus do it? Did Jesus say, all right, God, get a notepad because it's going to take a while. I'm going to tell you all about this guy. And I'm going to convince you when I'm done. Right? No, he just said, sickness, get out. Demon, go. See, you have the anointing, and the anointing is powerful enough to do that. It's like Jesus putting his hands on him. But we got to believe it. Are y'all ready? I'm out of time, so we got to do this now. If you're in this room right now, and you need healing in your body, and you'll do it, you'll step out in faith, I want you to stand up right now. Stand up. Okay, here's the deal. I want the people not standing up, I want you to go partner up with someone. Don't be scared. You're anointed. Go partner up. If you don't feel comfortable, it's okay. You don't have to. I'm not making you do anything. But if you feel comfortable with it, I want you to go partner up with someone. Get one-on-one. I don't want two people on somebody. Okay, I want one-on-one because I want to make sure we have everybody. Now, if we have everybody covered, then we can group up and things. But let's make sure everybody's covered. Just one-on-one. Try to, you know, guys with guys, girls with girls. Just don't get weird. Okay, don't get inappropriate. It's not date night, okay? All right? Now, here's the deal. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. Real quick, I want you to ask this person what they need prayer for. Now, listen, don't give backstory. Okay? And if you don't feel comfortable sharing, it's okay. But let's just say you got a cold. And they say, what do you want me to pray for you? And you say, listen, I got a cold. Thank you. Okay? Go, right now. You got like 20 seconds. All right, that's enough time right there. Okay? So we don't need to explain ourselves. Just tell them what you want them to pray for. Okay? Now, has everybody got someone praying for them? Because if they don't, we're going to have to, we need to get, I'm just trying to make sure everybody's got somebody. All right, I'm going to let you pray for them. Are you ready? And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to say go. And listen, whatever it is, you're going to say in the name of Jesus, whatever, go. Pain, leave in Jesus' name. And then listen, if you want to, thank you. You can. I like doing this too sometimes. Just thank you, God, for healing. And in the name of Jesus, bam, there you go. Something simple. You got like 10, 15 seconds. Ready, go. All right. Stop. Pretty simple, wasn't it? Now, here's the deal. How many, does anybody in here right now, can you raise your hand and tell me something's different? Anybody? Look at that girl right there. Okay. So, this is my challenge to you, though. What happened if you think nothing happened? That doesn't mean nothing happened. Because you may think, well, they prayed, but nothing happened. No. No. Here's the deal. Some of y'all may need to go to the doctor and get checked. Some of you may need to keep standing. That's okay. The point is, we're not going to get so crazy and goofy that we get in the way. We're going to keep this thing simple. We're going to use the name of Jesus to drive things out. Amen? Amen? And listen, if it didn't happen tonight, we're going to believe it's going to happen another time, and we're not going to elevate our experience above the truth. And listen, when we need to pray for, keep speaking to that. In the name of Jesus, whatever that is that hurts right there, go. And then you go about your day, oh, it started hurting. In the name of Jesus, pain, I told you to leave. And we're going to stand on that until it goes, and we're going to what? We're going to believe. And listen, if it doesn't happen, we're not going to get mad, and we're not going to go, well, it didn't work. We're going to run to the Father and go, I'm not seeing something. Help me untwist. Help my belief. Yeah. Right? Help my unbelief is what he says in the scripture. Help me grow up into you more. Yeah. Help me learn how to fly a little better, Lord. And we're going to keep it simple. Amen? Amen. Now, here's the deal. Well, I'm fixing to close out, so if everybody wants to go ahead and stand. Listen, if something happens and you're healed, please come tell us. If you need to go to the doctor and get checked out, that's awesome. Go get checked out. If you get the report, it's gone. You come share with us because we want you to share with us because it encourages us. Yeah. Amen? It encourages us. Here's the deal also, okay? We're going to have people down here that can pray for you for other things other than healing, okay? So if I have people here that you guys want to go ahead and make your way down, my prayer team, we're going to be available for that as well, okay? But I want you to remember it's simple. It's easy. And if someone in your family needs healing and they're not here, just they say, hey, pray for me. In the name of Jesus, back be healed, whatever. Be simple with it, right? So you don't get self-conscious. Cool? All right. I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you guys will be dismissed. Father, we love you so much. You are so awesome, Father. It is almost mind-blowing to even think that you would want to anoint us and put your spirit in us, but you do, Father, and you want us to destroy the works of the devil every single day. And Father, all of us in here are equipped to do that, all of us. And Father, as we begin to step out in faith, Lord, I know, Father, that we'll get better and better and better at believing you and walking in your truth, walking in your spirit. And Father, I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come in. Father, for the healings that are going to happen just from this right here. Father, that it would go out beyond this, that they would go home and tell their friends, their neighbors. Father, strangers even, if it comes about that they have an opportunity to do that. Father, and that they won't let themselves get in the way, they'll just be simple with it and watch your power work and move. Father, as we go this week, Father, we just pray that you keep us safe. Keep us protected, Father. Father, help us grow up more into you as we spend time with you as often as we can. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need anything, guys, y'all come down and get prayer. Amen.